The Sydney Congress has heard the environment of a dental surgery can actually mimic sexual abuse. Melbourne dentist Sharon Zack says many of her patients fear the dental chair itself.
Feeling unable to move, which is a reminder of being pinned down, and then feeling or being unable to speak, so that's a reminder of being silent.
75% of injuries from violence involve the head, neck, face and mouth, which Dr. Zack says are the parts of the body the dentist most commonly treats. Dr. Zack has told National Radio News there's clear links between those potential triggers and a victim's reluctance to visit the dentist, leading to poor oral health.
A report published at the World Dental Congress in Sydney has found a growing number of sexual and domestic assault survivors are avoiding the dentist because they fear they may relive the trauma in the confines of the dental chair. 75% of injuries from violence involve the head, neck, face, and mouth, which are the main areas of the body that dentists work with. National Radio News reporter Remy Norton asked Melbourne-based dentist Sharon Zack the links between poor oral health and domestic violence.
So all trauma involves a lack of control and a loss of power. By definition, it's events that are so stressful they overwhelm our ability to cope. And unfortunately, the body remembers. It's a real shock to the system, and as a survival response, the body remembers and looks out for similar threats in the future. And so when we're feeling helpless again or in a similar situation to the original trauma, painful memories and emotions resurface. In the dental context, unfortunately, there's a huge degree of submission required just to get procedures done. And so the power imbalance mimics the original loss of power as part of the assault, and so people have a lot of painful memories and emotions come back and intense distress, and that's what leads them to avoid coming to the dentist, which leads to deterioration and poor oral health.
You specifically mentioned lying prone in the lap of an authority figure. Would you be able to go into a little bit more depth about what else can trigger those memories?
So yes, there's lying in the lap of a trusted authority figure, which is a reminder of childhood abuse, because it usually happens during childhood most commonly. And then there's feeling unable to move, sort of feeling, which is a reminder of being pinned down. Yes, in the dental chair you can't really move. And then feeling or being unable to speak, so that's a reminder of being silenced. Having the dentist above you and all that accidental touching due to the close proximity of bodies. So yes, all the studies exploring survivors' dental avoidance behaviour show that invasion of personal space through that uninvited touch is a really major factor.
What do you as a dentist look for when it comes to identifying sexual assault victims?
There are very specific indicators that we should all know and look out for, because most of the time we won't be told. So our survival responses to perceived threat, one of the biggest ones is fear. And although we're really familiar with sort of sweaty, shaky, anxiety, panic, that sort of hyped up version of fear, in sexual assault survivors, there's another way it can play out, another fear response, which is to withdraw. And it's called dissociation, and it can also manifest as a freeze, kind of deer in the headlights kind of response. So yes, dissociation is where the patient isn't present and they're sort of detached from their own sort of awareness of their body and emotions, so they can actually lose the ability to respond to us. And it's particularly critical in dentistry because patients who are dissociating can seem quiet and like they're coping well, so we can sort of very easily miss it. So yeah, that response to fear is very common in sexual assault survivors, called dissociation.
And are there any statistics of how many sexual assault survivors aren't going to the dentist?
Oh, I wish. It's a really great question. Because sexual assault is so incredibly common, it hasn't been measured as far as I'm aware. But worldwide, the global statistic that is most accurate is roughly a third of our female patients and roughly a sixth of our male patients have been sexually assaulted by the age of 18 globally. So, in fact, thought that these numbers are far worse because of the issue of underreporting, so most people don't report what happens, and also because of the pandemic with lockdowns, people were unable to access services and support. So sexual assault of children went right up with lockdowns, and also intimate partner violence, sexual assault within that context. So at least a third of our female patients and a sixth of our male patients are affected. And regarding dental avoidance statistics, I'm not aware of any big studies that have been done, usually because survivors prefer to remain undisclosed.
Due to the risk of not going to the dentist, what is the industry going to do better to support survivors?
oh, well, I'm on a big mission to change and sort of completely transform our awareness of this. So as far as I'm aware, I'm the first person to kind of link this and advocate for survivors of not just sexual assault, but all kinds of trauma globally. And I've been very busy putting the word out, spreading the messages to dentists at various congresses and continuing education events over the last few years. And speaking at this World Dental Congress yesterday, that's going to have a global reach. It's a real opportunity we have as dentists to help survivors in their process from healing from trauma. So I've had a lot of great engagement and interest. And so it's a real emerging area. My hope is that, and there has been great interest in this, that I'll develop a curriculum for all the undergraduate dental students in Australia.
Dentist Dr. Sharon Zack speaking with National Radio News' Remy Norton.